want to thank you for choosing to join in with us as we seek the Lord today and try to experience more of who He is. A note, you can print my outlines off of the website there. And in the lower right-hand corner, we have an opportunity for online giving. It's a new experience for us as of the last few months. But in this COVID world, we're trying to raise revenues wherever we can. So if the Lord moves you, we could definitely be thankful for a gift. We are meeting out at Kalita at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and we're practicing all of the CDC guidelines. Our fellowship is small enough. We have plenty of space to do the social distancing thing. So we're going to dive into our study of the book of Acts. The life in the Spirit is the context of what we're looking for. This message is for November 8th of 2020. My Bible subtitles it, "The Philippian Jail is Converted." And the text is Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 33, if you want to open your Bibles. After I went over it, I came up with a subtitle that was different than my Bible's title. I entitled it, "The Power of the Holy Spirit," is my outline. The Power of the Holy Spirit. Point one, His power caused saints to praise. Point two, His power can shake the earth. Point three, His power can save a lost soul. So, when we talk about the Philippian jailer and Paul and Silas being in jail, jail is a big deal in my life. Growing up in Grimes Addition on the west end of Sterling, I had four best friends, Larry, Mike, Jack, and Terry. They were my best friends. And we were the bad boys of the neighborhood. Larry ended up dying of a knife fight in an Arizona prison. Mike died from AIDS in a prison in Joliet, Illinois. They let Jack out of a Nebraska prison to go home to die from cancer at home. And Terry is presently doing time in a southern Illinois prison today. Then when I came home from my service to Mr. Nixon in our nation, my best friend and next door neighbor, Gene, stayed in North Carolina in a federal prison for illegal sale of drugs and rape of a minor. These people were my best friends. We did everything together. The bottom line is, they got caught, I didn't. When I got out with my first of two honorable discharges from the U.S. Army, I used my GI Bill to get two college degrees. One is in criminal justice corrections, and the second is in psychology. I knew there was something wrong with me, and I didn't know how to fix it. The world's way didn't work for me. I tried to study and figure out how to readjust my thinking to make me different, but it just didn't work for me. Then I came in contact with J&J Restoration Company, and they came into my life. Jesus had the power for change I was looking for, and Julie had the hope I needed. So J&J Reconstruction Company is Jesus and Julie. In Jesus, I discovered not only the power to change, but the problem in my life. And Jules was really good at keeping hope alive for the change in my life. So let's try to think about power for a minute. How do you define it? How would you illustrate it if you were trying to illustrate power? 2020 has shown us many scenes of power. The power of the COVID-19 virus, not just in the United States, but worldwide, is literally a pandemic of power. We've seen the power of tropical storms and hurricanes. Some of our friends in Honduras are in deep straits right now because of the over 2 foot of rain they received in a short period of time in Honduras. And it's literally a muddy mess down there. We've seen the power of the wildfires out west, and we've seen the power of political money in this election that is still hanging on the edge of the table. But there was a lot of money spent on the political races, not just the presidential races, but a number of the state races as well. $50+ million to win a seat in each candidate's life. And in Georgia, more money than that to win or try to. That's amazing power. Sometimes it seems easier for me to illustrate power in negative or destructive ways. And when I first started writing this, I thought of several military illustrations, but chose not to do them. Then I was watching an infomercial the other night on television, and they said, "But wait, there's more. There's a power of good. Ooh, a power for good. Yeah. A power of love. A power of God." That power is not as dominant in 2020 as the power of evil and the power of destruction. But make no mistake, it is a greater power than any of the illustrations I listed. Our friends in Acts seem to have a power to see good, to see God in negative and destructive experiences. I wonder, how well do we do at this? I want to read from the NIV Reader's Version for us, Acts 16, and I'm going to read 25 to 33. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They were also singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a powerful earthquake. It shook the prison from top to bottom. All at once, the prison doors flew open. Everybody's chains came loose from them. The jailer woke up. He saw the prison doors were open. He pulled out his sword and was going to kill himself. He thought the prisoners had escaped. "Don't harm yourself," Paul shouted. "We're all here." The jailer called for some lights. He rushed in, shaking with fear. He fell down in front of Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out. He asked, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus. Then you and your family will be saved." They spoke the word of the Lord to him. They also spoke it to all of the members in his house. At that hour of night, the jailer took Paul and Silas and washed their wounds. Right away, he and his whole family were baptized. The end. Paul, Silas, Mark, and Timothy had been living with Lydia. She was very wealthy. They experienced the good thing that lots of money can buy. Last night, Paul and Silas slept on clean sheets, but not tonight. They had been stripped and beaten with rods. As I looked at my study Bible of the Phillips translation, I found these study notes and I thought they were good, so I copied them for us. When we left last week, they had just been stripped and beaten with rod, imprisoned and put in chains. Their backs were lacerated, bloody, swollen mass of human flesh. We can just imagine the excruciating pain. But note, sitting there in the dark, smelly, rat and roach infested dungeon, they bore a strong testimony to the wonderful grace of God. The end. So our outline, the power of the Holy Spirit. Point number one, his power caused saints to praise. These servants, these saints, had their focus on God, not what was happening to them and around them. The Message translation of Acts 16:25 had an interesting word in it. I'm going to read it to you. Along about midnight, Paul and Silas were in prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. The other prisoners couldn't believe their ears. The end. When I read Eugene Peterson's robust hymn, it wasn't a soft hymn, but it was a stirring, robust hymn that they were singing there in the dark amongst the rats, the roaches, and the other prisoners. A on our outline. His power caused saints to praise in adversity. His power caused saints to praise in adversity. And I underlined adversity. Why would they? How could they? Can anyone live like this? To praise in the midst of adversity? Yes. Absolutely yes. Jesus had one sermon he preached wherever he went. We learned this in our study of Luke's gospel. The next scripture is from Jesus and his Beatitudes. It's taken from Luke 6:22 and 23. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when you have nothing to do with you and say bad things about you, and when they treat your name as something evil. They do all this because you're followers of the Son of Man." Their people treated the prophets in the same way long ago. When these things happen to you, be glad. Jump for joy. You will receive many blessings in heaven. The end. When Peter wrote his first book, he included his take on this attitude. He titled it Suffering as a Christian. I'm going to read 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13 to you. My dear friends, don't be surprised by painful sufferings you are going through. Don't feel as if something strange is happening to you. Be joyful that you are taking part in Christ's sufferings. Then you will be filled with joy when Christ returns in glory. The end. Peter's teaching that an endgame focus, Christ's return in glory, and how we respond or react to the situations now will make a big difference at that time. One can do this by seeking the Holy Spirit. One puts their focus onto the end product. They have an end game mindset. We win the war, regardless of the battle of today. And so we keep our hope alive in that end game of winning. You see, God has a plan, and he's been very gracious to tell us his plan. We believe in him, and his way is better than the ways of the world. Sometimes in your life, you hear one short, succinct phrase that changes the course of your life. I watched Dave Ritz take his Bible and hold it up one day and said, "All of the answers you need to live life are in this book. This is the truth." And I thought, maybe that's what I've been looking for. Maybe God does have a plan. I believe that this is a true statement. Our time is looking for leaders and teachers who will allow discipleship to be lived out as well as spoken out. When we share our gospel stories, we must be able to use the good, the bad, and the ugly for all to work together for God's good and God's glory. These are discipleship lessons. What about you? What lessons do you seek to learn when you're faced with situations and circumstances that seem to be ugly? Be on our outline. His power caused sinners to pay attention. His power caused sinners to pay attention. Your second blank is the A word, attention. Those prisoners were listening because of the Holy Spirit. They're sitting there in the dark, listening to them sing that robust hymn. Paul will dictate to Silas, and Silas will write this down for it. It's recorded in our letter to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. They said, some people don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Things like that are foolish to them. They can't understand them. In fact, such things can't be understood without the Spirit's help. The end. Let me try to illustrate this. Someone said to me the other day, I'm going to watch the Bears game on Monday Night Football. I said, that's a good idea. They have the same model TV I do. Theirs just happens to be 17 inches bigger than mine. Monday night, we sat down in front of our TVs in our homes at 7 o'clock to watch the Bears. I flipped through all the channels on my TV. No Bears game. Why can't I watch it? They can, and I can't. What's up? Well, you see, they have a satellite dish, and I don't. They have an invisible connection to a higher power than I do. See, the Holy Spirit is like that in us. We have the opportunity to receive a signal, an invisible signal, much like what works in the satellite dish, to receive a whole different game than other people do. But it's not a physical thing. It's an invisible thing. That's what the Holy Spirit is like. Can you see this is true? Our outline, the power of the Holy Spirit, point number one, his power caused saints to praise. Our point number two, his powers can shake the earth. His powers will soon destroy the earth and then make a new one. This will happen soon. All this will pass away. All this is just temporary. I want to read Acts 16, 26 to us from the NIV translation. It's a little different. Suddenly there was a powerful earthquake. It shook the prison from top to bottom. All at once the prison doors flew open. Everybody's chains came loose. This powerful earthquake shook the prison from top to bottom. A on your outline. His power can shake the earth aggressively. His power can shake the earth aggressively. I have another A word for your blank. Aggressively. The New American Standard Bible translates it this way. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. They shook the foundations of this massive stone building. What level do you guess the earthquake was? Maybe a 5? 7? Did you notice that on October 30th of 2020 at 6:51 a.m., there was a level 7 earthquake in this part of the world? Just the other day, October 30th, there was a level 7 earthquake in this part of the world. You see, God is still at work there. The Old Testament tells us many true stories of God using bad things to get people's attention. Has he gotten your attention yet in 2020? Be on the outline. His power can stop a suicide attempt. His power can stop a suicide attempt. And your next A word is attempt. If the prisoners escaped, the jailer would have been put to death. And not in a nice, civilized way. Every day, there's an average of 123 Americans choose to take their own lives in suicide. Today, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in our country. It's ranked third among people aged 15 to 19. If you're in the age group 15 to 19, it's third. And second among college students, the second most likely cause of death of college students is suicide. That's staggering. More than 50,000 Americans will take their own lives this year. That's amazing. Every time I call the VA automated system, I get a message like this first. If you're considering suicide, please call this number or hang up and dial 911. But that's the message you get first before you get options to go to some other location. Every day, more than 25 veterans kill themselves. That's just short of 7,000 veterans a year. Amazing. And the truth is, we have a cure for suicide. It's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus. He has the hope people need. So our outline, the power of the Holy Spirit, number one, His power caused saints to praise. Number two, His power can shake the earth. Number three, His power can save a lost soul. Lydia came from the top end of the social scale. And the slave girl from last week, the bottom of the social scale. Well, the Roman jailer was one of the sturdy middle class who made up the Roman civil services. In these three, we are expressed the complete society. So God's love reaches out to Lydia, the very most wealthy in that place, and to the slave girl, the very bottom of the social scale, and the middle class Roman, the jailer. The Holy Spirit wanted us to see from our startup in Europe that God loves, God calls people from all of society. God calls and loves people from all parts of society. And our first church startup in Europe demonstrates that to us. You see, God reads one's heart, not their economic, social position. The Message translation of Acts 6, 29 and 30 reads like this. The jailer got a torch and ran inside. Badly shaken, he collapsed in front of Paul and Silas. He led them out of jail and asked, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved, to really live?" The end. A. His power caused conviction. His power caused conviction. So conviction is your first C word. Only the Holy Spirit can convict and convince a person that they are sinners and in need of a Savior. Only the Holy Spirit can cause this conviction. I read what George MacDonald wrote about this passage, and I think he is correct. Here's what it says. Now a new emotion swept over the jailer. His fear of losing his job and perhaps his life gave way to a deep conviction of sin. He was now afraid to meet God in his sin. A man must know he is lost before he can be saved. It's premature to tell a man how to be saved until he can say from his heart, "I truly deserve to go to hell." The only people in the New Testament who were ever told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ were convicted sinners. Many today seem to have a difficulty knowing what it means to believe. However, when a sinner realizes he is lost, helpless, hell-bound, and then told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows what it means. That's the end of that quote. You see, in my life, I learned that the power in my life that caused me, or you might say allowed me or encouraged me to do evil, was not me, but sin. I always thought I was the problem. I discovered I was not the problem. And Jesus had the power to change people. He changed me. Be on our outline. His power caused conversion. His power caused conversion. Your second C word is conversion. Paul and Silas' reputation in Philippi was well known. When the jailer realized his condition and need, he risked everything to find the answer. The Christian good news of salvation is simply expressed this way. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Paul will dictate to Silas a letter to the church in Rome. Romans 10, 8 to 10 from the NIV reads like this. But what does it say? The word is near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. He quoted that from Deuteronomy 30, 14. That means the word we are preaching to you, you must put your faith in it. Say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. With your heart, you believe and are made right with God. With your mouth, you say that Jesus is Lord, and you are saved. The end. When one recognizes Jesus as Lord and trusts him with their entire life, salvation is assured to us. If you've never trusted Christ to save you, do it quickly. The jailer's life changed. God wants to do this with you too, but don't wait. See on the outline, his power caused compassion. His power caused compassion. And your third C word is compassion. An interesting thing about the jailer is that he immediately proved his conversion by his actions. No sooner had he turned to Christ than he washed the wounds of the prisoners' backs and gave them food. Unless our Christianity makes us kind, it's not real. Unless our declared change of heart is guaranteed by our change of deeds, it's only superficial and false. Not only did he believe, but his household did too. John writes to us in chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, Then they asked Jesus, What does God want from us? What works does he want us to do? Jesus answered, God's work is to believe in the one he has sent. The end. D. His power caused public confession. His power caused public confession. Your last blank is the C word, confession. They were baptized, and while baptizing someone does not save a saved person is going to want to make his public confession of his salvation. It reminded me of our study of the parable of the prodigal son. When we were studying Luke chapter 15, verses 20 to 24, this is part of the parable of the prodigal son. It says, So he got up and he went to his father. While his son was still a long way off, his father saw him. His father was filled with tender love for his son. He ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattest calf you can find and kill it. Let's have a big dinner and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, and now he is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. So they began to celebrate. That's the end. That's the welcome home each of us believers can look forward to. Can you focus on this truth in the mess we live in today? Focus on the end game of your father greeting you like that, welcome you home at the end of this challenge of life. You see, there is a power of good. There is a power for good. There is a power of love. There is a power of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for your great love for us. We are awed and amazed at the love you share. And the love that was so great, you ask your only begotten Son, Jesus, to come, live, die, and rise again to be our opportunity of salvation. Holy Spirit, please reach out, convince, convict, and lead people to become saints today. For the saints who are listening to this message, I pray that we would renew our hope in you and we would set our eyes on the end game and not be distracted of the chaos of this day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wonderful power and presence. We pray in the sweet and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You got your hopes up, but won't let your guard down. I know you trust him, and I know it's hard to walk it out, but when he leads you, he'll always see it through. So you can run right at your mountain like it's already moved, and you can change. So lay your fears down and lift your head high, 'cause impossible things are where his faithfulness can shine. He'll never leave you. So when he says he promises, you know he's coming through. You can run right at your mountain like it's already moved. Gonna let you go, never let you down. He's always gonna lead you, always gonna be the one working all things out. He's never gonna leave you, never gonna let you go, never let you down. He's always gonna lead you, always gonna be the one working all things out. So you can run.